God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this night. Father, thank you, Father, for the breath of life. Thank you, Lord God, for just the chance to come together, Lord. In your name, Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father, for the chance, Lord, to be here, and Lord, to be able to spend some time, Lord, in your word, to be able to spend some time, Father, reading your scripture, Lord, to be able to spend some time just sharing, Lord, with one another, and Father, just bearing one another's burdens, Lord, and just trusting you. So, Lord, right now, Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for calling us your children. And Lord, we just come to you, Father, at this time. And Lord, we ask, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, Father, Lord, that you'd minister to each and every one of us, Lord. And Lord, that you would just strengthen us, Lord, for the call at hand, for the time at hand, for the work at hand, Lord, for the sake, Father, of your body, for the sake, Lord, of your church, and for the sake, Lord, of the souls that you've given us, Father, and that you've born into us, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for life and breath. Lord, just as we spend this time, Lord, together, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would be with us in a really strong way. And Father, that you would just take full control, Lord. I get out of the way. Lord, I invite the free flow of your spirit, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that every word that's spoken would be laced with your spirit, and Lord, that it would just be exactly what you want to come forward, and nothing less. And Lord, I just want to say thank you, Father, for loving us, Father, for bringing us through the events of this last week. And Lord, we see through and through that your hand is there, Lord, leading and guiding and protecting your people. So Lord, thank you, Father, for the so many ways that you watch out for us and take care of us. And Lord, as we just go forward into this time together, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us and that your will would be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I get out of the way. Invite the full increase and full flow through of the Spirit of God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time in so many different places right now. So many things going on.
You're referring to the good or the bad?
Good and, well, I know. I'm starting to see bad stuff differently. You know, like, I mean, like, when things don't work out according to our hopes and our expectations, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, but see, people are so indoctrinated by the world that they see everything as, okay, whatever works out in my favor in the world is a good thing, and whatever doesn't work out in my favor in the world is a bad thing. And it's like, no, the very bad thing that you might perceive today may be something working out something great in the future, or maybe it just may be for your own personal growth and development that God allows something, or maybe it's just people reaping what they sow. And there's that natural law and effect that comes back to you and dealing with the consequences of some of that. You know, sometimes that's the case. And it's like, you know, it's like God already put it there. You put a seed in the ground, it's going to come back. You know, you're going to get something back from that. So, yeah, but it is an interesting time. I see more and more and more the reason that it's to people's benefit to walk with Christ. It's to people's for the sake of their life and their soul, for them to walk with Christ. So, yeah, but why?
No, I think Revelation says somewhere.
Yeah.
It says, no, when it is towards the end, like this word will be spread more, and you know, people, you know, like everybody will know the word, or everybody will know, be aware of God or whatever.
There's you're referring to Matthew 24, where I mean, it's spoken of in Revelation 2, but Matthew 24 is very specific, where Jesus, when they asked him what was the sign of his coming and of the end of the age, and let's see here, Matthew 24 says, let's see which verse it is. Verse 14, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So but you know what's interesting about that too? It doesn't say the whole world's going to get saved, you know, and people have, but it says that it will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And, you know, I mean, that's what we're called to be also, as witnesses. You know, we're called to, and ye shall be, you know, ye shall receive power. Here, actually, go to Matthew, or not Matthew, but Acts 1. I'll show you this one too.
So, you know, right now it's like available to the entire world.
Yeah, but there's also the false doctrine. And where he says in chapter 7, verse 1, that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon the believer empowers them to put to death everything in their life that keeps them from being that witness for God, and then also enables them to do the task at hand, which is to be that witness for the light and the truth wherever God puts them. So he gives them the power for that in accordance also in fulfillment of Matthew 24:14, where, you know, it says, in this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. So, you know, the interesting thing too is that it's like God finds amazing ways of getting that message across. And see, really it's him that causes it to happen. You know, what we do is we yield ourselves to the power of the Spirit of God. And then some people he'll send out to the outermost parts of the earth to do it. Some people he'll use you right where you are. Use you right in an administrative job or in, you know, heading something up or as a janitor. But he'll like use you as a witness wherever it is that you are, if you yield it to him, and then he'll show you if he needs to move you. But yeah, you know, right now is a time where, one, the truth is available, but then there's so many lies out there as well. And you think about it too, there were no, in Jesus' day, there were no miracle cults. You know, that it's like, I mean, there was one Jesus. You know, it's like afterwards that then like people start trying to invoke his name and use his name for certain things. It's only afterwards that, like, you know, now today, how many things are done, you know, using his name that have nothing to do with him. So, yeah, it's a different time than then. But even then too, the true gospel is preached. You know, and people will, and I mean, what's the good news? That you can be free. You know, the freedom has come in Christ Jesus, that you can be set free from, you can be forgiven of your sins, and that you can know God, that you can actually walk with God, that you have access to this eternal life that's, and the kingdom is within, and it goes, that you go within to where he is knocking at the door of your heart. So, I mean, just let him take control of that. But yeah, it is an interesting time because you know, there's a lot of people that are engaged in a lot of what they would call missionary activities, but it doesn't have much to do with Christ. It has to do with exporting a denomination or exporting a religious structure, but not Christ. Does that make sense? Like it's like you can export ideas about a person without actually introducing people to that person. Mm-hmm. So you can have all kinds of ideas about who God is and never introduce people to have a personal relationship with him. That's a huge disservice that's done to people, because there's those that would want it, but they're being blocked from it. And they're told, you need to go through me and I'll tell you what he's like, you know? I'll tell you what God's like. Oh, I'll tell you what God said yesterday. And, you know, if you don't accept me, there's something wrong with you. But, yeah, it's the deceptions are increasing right now. You know, and they're increasing because the times we're moving into also are very dark, and so that if people don't have a heart for truth, they'll seek to snare them, you know, seek to take them now. So there's a lot that are falling, but then there's also those that are standing strong and holding out. But it's not an easy time, but it's a time where God definitely is there with His people. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Where we are. Ooh, what'd you bring?
Okay. She was hungry.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Okay. Philippians chapter 2. I'll go back to verse 7. I'll go back to verse 4. Now, look not to every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Okay. Cold there, huh? Yeah, okay. Okay, cool. So we started at verse 1. So much in this, and this is kind of a good starting point for a new area that we're going to kind of be working on a little bit. But a couple things to stop with at this here. Look at what Jesus, it says in verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now the attitude of Christ, and then you contrast that with the world, because again, back to two systems. All right, so here's God, and God chose to come here and to become man and be found in the form of man. And very interesting in a time and a place where most men are trying to become God. You know, and most, I mean, where, I mean, this, that's the contrast of the world. Where the world says, you know, I will be God, like Lucifer did in Isaiah 14 and in Isaiah 28. And again, you know, I know people get mad for me exposing churches for what a lot of them are doing, but even there, what's happened is you have arrogant, pompous people that don't have a connection with God, that stand up and say, I'm your intermediary between you and God, and you need me to get a special connection with God because I'm the one holding the telephone line. And you need to pay your 10% so that you can get, you know, I give you some call time. And the problem is that you contrast the attitude of Christ, you contrast the stance of Christ. Because see, not just that, God didn't just choose to become man and become in the form and the fashion of man, God-man, but being in that fashion, in that form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's, stop, you can stop there. Verse 9 picks it up. It says, wherefore God hath also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Absolute amen on that. But that's the result. And that's something that was completely up to God, how he would choose to work it and do it and use it for his glory. But see, most people try to focus on outcome-based life, outcome-based religion, outcome-based walk with God. Basically, Lord, I want to make it in the world. I'll decode it. Lord, I want to make it in the world, and so I want you to help me to make it in the world according to my understanding of what it is to be successful in the world. And in that process, I'll thank you and I'll praise you and I'll give you a testimony for how life has worked out for me in the world according to my standard, and I'll put your stamp on it, and won't you be so happy with me? Whereas God, see, the thing about the kingdom of God is it's a complete flip from the kingdom of the world. So the kingdom of the world is an opposite and is diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of the world still is focused on result, still focused on outcome. Still, if you have a friend in the world, the reason you have a friend in the world is because you can get something out of them. So you see people as a means to an end, you see people as a resource that you can use, and people are used and cultivated and developed for that purpose. So it's like, good contact, no? No, that's the reason of that. The reason in the world that people have friends in the world, they and even their family is an extension of their own selfishness. So no, so
I really like what you're saying.
No, I'm talking. Wait.
No, that's the truth.
No, even their family is an extension of their own selfishness. So when it comes to, for example, children. You know, at how many, okay, if you've ever done sports, how many parents seek to live out their dreams through their children? So, I mean, you know, I thought I'd see something different on a national team. It's it's the same thing everywhere, where parents are involved, parents are there. Parents are trying, you know, come on, Junior, and you know, they'll cut down somebody else's son or daughter or do whatever they have to try to force somebody on a team. They'll go try to get the coach drunk and take him to a party and get, you know what? But it's like all of that for what? Because they're trying to live out their own selfishness through their children. They're trying to live out their own dreams, their own. So life hasn't quite worked out for them the way they wanted to. So now I will push my son to be the doctor. I will push my son to be the sports star. I will push my son to be the engineer or the businessman. Or I will, you know, get them out there because now it's an extension of me. And I've not made it in the world the way that I thought I wanted to. So therefore now you make it in the world and I will push you out there and see, okay, what's your son doing? What school? And then you start superimposing the conversations of the world on this. which is, so where are they? What are they up to? Where are they going to school? Are they married? Are they this? Are they that? Where are they working? Oh, is it for an international company? Oh, is it local? Is it this? Is it at all the way that you fit into the hierarchy structure of the world? Whereas God, being at the top of the whole thing, the head honcho, chooses to leave that position, come down, be formed and fashioned as a man, and then what does he call? It takes upon, verse 7, the form of a servant. You know, all these titles that people take on in churches, the only one that's legitimate is servant. If you are in Christ. The only one that's legitimate. No reverend, no your holiness, no popeness, no this, no that. No, the only title that's legitimate, because this is the high priest. If you're like the one that you follow, if you are a Christian, a Christian Christ-like one, a little Christ, if you're like him, well, okay, what form did he take? Reverend Jesus. No, it was servant Jesus. And what did he do when it was the Last Supper? What was the approach? The approach that he had at the Last Supper was, look, let me just knock it home one more time. Let me go get a basin, sit down, and wash your feet. I am going to, though I am God, and though my proper place would be for me to sit here and all 12 of you walk by and wash my feet, which would be completely acceptable. But because he even ruptured the social norm, which was Jesus serving, and Peter was like, whoa, hold on, wait, no, Lord, you're not going to do it. No, why? Because he couldn't get his mind around that. Because part of it too is Peter was hoping when he would get his chance to lord it over somebody else though. You remember the argument with the James and John when their mother had asked, you know, Lord, when you come into your kingdom with your glory, you know, like let my son sit on both sides, you know, one at your right, one at your left. And the other guys got mad because they beat him to the punch. They're still carnal, still worldly, still looking for how do I become a success in the world and the world system and tack Jesus' name onto that. Tack Jesus's stamp, the Jesus stamp, let me stamp that on there, but I still want to make it in the world. What changed? The change was Acts, with the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. That was when you see a different Peter. That's when you see now the guy that was running away when push came to shove, and he's like, I don't know the man. You remember that? And he's like, I don't know this Jesus. When he got to that point, there was a different man when the power of the Holy Spirit came on him after Acts chapter 2, actually, but Acts 1, Jesus sets it up, says, look, stay in Jerusalem until you get this. You need this power, you need this empowering of the Holy Spirit so that you can be the witness, so that you, martus, that's the word that's used there, the word for martyr comes from martus, put to death. Where you can put to death everything in you that's not like me. And then what's there and what remains is his life flowing through you and blossoming and bursting out of you. And then from that place of life, then you just go wherever and you are one who, like we just finished that last series, you're it's the word of life, the way, the truth, and the life that's coming through you. So very different ways, different mentalities. See, I think as we keep going through this stuff a little bit more, and you superimpose these times and these studies that we do together on your experiences in the world, it's all starting to get sharpened up a little bit more. And each time you realize, whoa, wait a second, most of what you see is worldly. Most of what you see is part of the trick. Most of what you see is part of the trap, especially in the cities. If you live in the cities, you're surrounded by it far, far more. Because cities are central for this kind of stuff. you get out into the country a little bit, you get separated from all the luminous lights, and you know, you can see more of God's handiwork and more of God's creation and more of, you know, our absolute dependence on it. But when people get, you know, in their cubicles and they, you know, the water comes from the cooler over there and the lunch room is always has food, and they start to get separated and detached from the source where all this stuff came from, then they start to like, oh yeah, yeah, it's like, okay, you know, I can manage. But so two other things in this chapter. One is that in verse 2 it says, when he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind," right? And then verse 12, where he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And you know, the interesting thing with this is that, okay, where does this one mind come from? Verse 2. And then why is it that we're also instructed to work this thing out yourself?
God's given us discernment.
The Holy Spirit does. It is a gift that develops with us. I think I've got more discernment now than I had before. I mean, part of it's just life and learning, you know. But then there's definitely a gift that God gives. But okay, again, the world counterfeits, right? So we know that, you know, whatever God has an original of, the world makes the copy. So God has His perfect original, and then the world will give you the bastardized version. So God has true love, and the world gives you lust and calls it love. God has true design and purpose. The world offers you, you know, shallow, like a fame and the perception of something for a moment in time, and people chase after that. There's no fulfillment. There's no walk there. There's no peace there. But so it gives you that. So again, God has, there is a one mind that's with Christ as well. The world also has it, which is, my buddy in New Mexico calls it the hive mind, where basically like a big beehive, where you're all drones hooked into this thing, and worker bees all hooked into this thing, and you are part of this collective building the world and the world system, and simultaneously, and your minds are hooked into that system because of your spiritual allegiance. So for example, when so people get ideas and they create and they do all of these things to continue to fashion and form the world, to build the world up into a bigger and better social or soul scalping machine for the next generation. So each time souls come into this world, it's more and more refined because of the labors that have been put in there by the generation that came before you in how to scalp and steal that soul, and to keep them from ever getting to the light, and to keep them ever from receiving truth. And for those that are still here, for those that still walk in the truth, to do everything you can to crush and to destroy that soul and that person, to keep them from ever becoming what God created them to be. So it's much harder now to walk with Christ than it was 20 years ago. Because now there's different people that have faced different kinds of persecutions in different places, but the world and the world system has become more and more refined, and their focus is more and more structured. For example, right now, if you live in the States, how can you live without a credit card there? Because everything's gotten so automated, and it's just a little bit of time more before you're going to get a cashless system. There's some places that already are. Now, if you get a cashless system, then, and what's required is your allegiance to that world system in order for you to be able to access whatever cash you've got. And if you're not, well, why wouldn't you be? Well, you must be a terrorist. or you must be an enemy of the state, or you must be, because why wouldn't you want to participate in this? So it's setting up the system of the world continues to get more and more and more. So okay, here, the cell phone, switch this thing on and you're trackable. If there's a government agency that wants to really know where you are and you have a cell phone, your number, all they need to do is just know, check your number, and they can find out exactly where you are right now. In fact, they do. There's a ton of people that are just like you and me, who walk with Christ, who are tracked continuously, because they're tracked in the spirit for sure, and then a lot of them are tracked in the natural, because you're a threat and you're a danger. And so because of that, they need to do what they can to keep tabs on you, to keep you from ever breaking out, to keep you, to steer opportunities away from you, to thwart the things that you do, to see, wait, what are you up to now? What are you thinking about now? Because you are the only threat to the system. Everybody else is part and parcel of it. So for example, there is no United States president and president of Iran and president of Sri Lanka, and they're all part of which spiritual kingdom? If you know a tree by its fruit. So they're all part and parcel of business leaders of the world, part and parcel of the same thing, by and large. Now, so occasionally you find God will somehow put one of his wheat in the middle of all these weeds as a witness and a testimony to them of, so you will have a Daniel arrive, you will have a Joseph show up, but even then, look at the road they had to take to get there. Who would like that road? Yeah. How many believers do you know would want to go into captivity at 16 or be sold as a slave by your own brothers at 17? Yeah. So everybody wants to be in that position where it's like, oh yeah, I'm the big boss now. Do you know what they went through to get there? And with no hope in sight, except just the promise of God that they held on to. And had the results been any different, the results really were in God's care. He just found some guys that he could work with, and he just chose to change their circumstance. But the understanding needs to be that you're in this world, not of it, but you're still here. And the system of the world is at enmity with you. So like, pages turned here. So that where Jesus said, or where Paul, when he was writing, he said that, verse 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So okay, so the world is in darkness, and because of the Spirit of God in you, you shine. You stand out, people know you, they see you, and when they see you, they hate you. Why is it that they hate you? You ever wonder why the people hate you? When you're like, okay, what did I do? Why does this person have a problem with me? Why? You know, I mean, did I do something against this person? Do you ever wonder why? My dad gave me a good one the other day, and we were talking about this. One of the reasons why you're hated so much by this world.
They want what you have.
They do want what you have, but the flip side of that same coin is, they realize you're free, and they're not.
So yeah, I'm plugged into the system, I'm pumping them with more.
Yeah, so you're free, and they are not. You are set free in Christ Jesus, you're walking with Him, your provision comes from Him, and you acknowledge and recognize that, and so they've taken their provision from Egypt, they've taken their provision from the world, and they realize that you're not plugged in there, and you're free, and you're receiving it from another source, and they hate you because of that. They hate that freedom you have in Christ Jesus. They hate the fact that you're alive, and they also hate the fact that, look, you've got these gifts and these talents and these abilities that are in you that they can't access. They're like, what? Well, who do you think you are? You better give it up. You know, give it up for the system. Give it up. Plug yourself in here so that we can access what's in you, and we will then give you your payoff for your soul. So we'll give you success in the world to a varying degree. We'll give you, you want money? Sure, hey, we got plenty of that. In fact, the longer that you go with Christ, the more valuable you are. Because now, look, oh wow, you know, Jesus was the epitome of it, whereas Lucifer said, look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. A lot of people have taken the trade for a whole lot less for success in the world.
But they don't hate you to your face.
No. The world is, well, sometimes they do, but you know, that's, but most of what the world does is in back rooms and behind your back. And that's the way they are. That's, and you know what? Hey, that's what they do, their stuff in secret, but they give a polished exterior. And you know what? Actually, it's like, just realize they're doing what they're supposed to do. See, the world there, again, even with all of this stuff, and here's the thing they don't understand. Just like with where it says in scripture how if these powers of the wicked one, if they knew what was going to happen with Christ Jesus, they wouldn't have crucified him. If they knew that God was going to turn that whole thing around and work that thing out unto their own demise and for the victory and for the sake of all of humanity, for the freedom that we would have, they would have done everything they could have to stop the crucifixion. They would have done everything. They would have killed Pilate and killed the Jews and killed everybody to keep Jesus from ever going to the cross, because they would have never wanted that. See, here's the thing. Likewise for you and I, but see, they don't know. They don't know which one of you is going to crack and turn over to them. But if you don't, they work with limited knowledge. But if you don't crack, and all they do is chip away at the world which is in you, they just continue to refine and used by God for the purpose of refining you, so that in the end you shine brighter and stronger, and your connection is more and more powerful, and you've been through things, and your authority continues to grow with Christ. And the more they throw at you, it's like gasoline on a fire, the brighter that you are burning. So what they do is they seek to intensify it with the hope that you'll crack, with the hope that you'll break, with the hope that at somewhere along the way you're going to, you know, call it quits and now turn yourself over to the world and say, okay, I can't do this anymore. So that's their hope. But if it doesn't work, the backfire against them is that you are truly Romans 8:28. For God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. See, what happens with that is that when... Yeah, let me flip there really quick. I think I gave it to you verbatim, but Romans 8. Let me do verses 27 too. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So, or to them who agape God, that true love of God. Not that conditional brotherly love, but that for those that have that love of God in them, that unconditional, unwavering, total, complete love that God, that's divine, for those that love God in that way, that God causes all these things to work together for the good. So it's like when I look back too, and I think of difficult times and difficult circumstances, situations that have come up, if you hold on to God And you hold, and you can even take His promises back to Him. And you're just like, Lord, this is in Your Word. So you, this situation that you're facing, it has to work according to the good. Then the love of God and the calling, so it has to work according to Your plan. So, and then He does it. If you just hold on. See, what I've seen too is I've seen a lot of people, when things don't work out for them in the world the way that they were hoping, then they get mad at God. And then when the situation doesn't work out, and now here's the thing, He was always there. He was always willing to instruct you. He was always willing to. So there's a lot of times where people's lives get destroyed because of their own foolishness. Proverbs 19, a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. So there's a lot of people who do things that at the end of it is, it hurts themselves, but they get mad at God. Now that's one line, but the thing is, in that, those situations, brother, just, you know, say sorry, get right with God, and start on that track, because, you know, you did it to yourself. But past that, if you are walking with Christ, because everybody suffers in this world, but if you're walking with Christ, the suffering that you endure on the track of seeking to walk with Him and walk out a holy life is that it's short term, it doesn't last for very long, and when you come through it, there's incredible benefit, incredible blessing on the other side of it. See, the suffering in the world is really, really for a long time, and there's absolutely no benefit in it whatsoever. So when you suffer in the world and you suffer for being part of the world, it's long, long lasting with no benefit whatsoever. In Christ Jesus, when you suffer and you suffer for going forward in the truth, it's for a short period of time, it's not that long, and there is lasting and eternal benefit in that. If you can just endure and overcome through that process that you have to go through. So that's this kind of suffering that you should embrace. That's the kind of suffering when Scripture says, look, count it all joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds. That's the kind of suffering that you're like, yeah, this is all right. This is not a bad thing. Because there's a purpose in it. For lack of a better word, there's a payoff. There is something that good that comes out of this whole thing. So, see, the world will give you, it'll try to get you in the middle of that whole suffering. So it'll put the temptation on you, it'll put the struggle, it'll put the press on you to really see, are you going to hold out? And then in the middle of that, it's like, okay, we'll grant you your relief, we'll grant you, we'll give you a season where now we will stop attacking you. And if you just become one of us, join us. Yeah, just join us, become part of us, and then we'll give you a break. Yeah. Whereas if you keep going, you keep holding out, then it's like, well, okay, now, you know, you're asking for it. You know, now you're asking for it. It's like, well, no, all I'm really asking for is to walk with Christ and to leave the matrix. I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be part of their illusion. I don't want to be part of their system. I don't want to be part of what they're building here. All I want is to walk out life with Christ. And then you realize in walking with Christ, it's like, okay, cool, you know. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so that He owns the whole thing. So in Him being the owner and we being connected to Him, He says, okay, by the way, since I own it, I also have something for you to do in this place, in the thing that I own. And part of it's a rescue mission. Part of it is different assignments and different responsibilities. Part of it is different things that you'll have you to do while you're here. It's all part and parcel of the life and the experience and the adventure that He wants you to have that you won't find any other way. And the world offers people semblances of this, but it's all empty. Whereas God offers the real thing. So, Okay, but back to this this one mind thing. Okay, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but... verse 2 says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Okay, when we go through, and when we continue to persist with the Spirit of Truth, what happens is you then, your connection with the Father gets stronger and stronger, and you learn His mind, you learn His voice. And as you learn His mind and as you learn His voice, you'll find out, wait a second, He's speaking the same thing to me that He's speaking to Damita, that He's speaking to Natasha, that He's speaking to whoever in Christ. That whatever it is that He's speaking to you, He's speaking to His true body. See, this is where sometimes people get confused, because they're like, okay, such and such calls himself reverend, or such and such calls himself an elder, or whatever, but we're not hearing the same things. We're not hearing the same message. We're not hearing from the same head. Well, God gives me something in my spirit, and I know it's from Him, and they can't see it. But yet they got a title. And the problem is it's not my problem, it's actually their problem, because they're not connected. And the fact that they're not connected results in them not being able to hear or see or understand what the Spirit of God is speaking unto the church. So then they have to trade in the lack of the ability to hear for programs and for man-made things, again, the world and another packaging of how to get outcome-based religion. Now, verses, when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, He will put a burden in your heart, and others that are walking in Christ will be able to, even if they don't have the same assignment, they know that that's from God. And they know that, wow, it's like, this is something God is speaking to you. This is something God's speaking to your heart. And they'll encourage you in that, because they'll know, okay, that's your assignment in the body of Christ, and I can hear the same message from the head, and even if I'm not called to go there with you, I share in it through prayer. Maybe I give something towards it. Maybe I'll come at some point. Maybe I'll send somebody else to go work with you on that. Maybe, but I know that it's part of the body. It's part of what needs to happen. So they're with you in that. So you are connected to Christ in one mind, in one heart. Because it's His mind. And so the difference between that and the world one mind is the world one mind is the hive mind that works to build the world and the world system and rewards those within the system who are the best proponents of it. So the more that you build the world and the world system according to their desire to refine this killing machine, the better your promotion is. The more of a slave you are to the system, the higher you go within it. So, if you're a good little slave, then you get a promotion. If you're a better slave, you get a really good promotion. And if you completely know the truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all humanity, and He is the Christ, and He's God, and you will choose to reject that truth, and embrace the lie, and embrace the devil, and embrace the death world, then you get to be the head honcho of the world system. You get to be now one of the big ones. Have you noticed that if you look around at the world leaders today, and you see what they're about, and you see the kind of things that they say, and the kind of lies that they live, and the kind of, I mean, who they are. These are the leaders of the world. These are the ones of the world. I should say, these are the leaders of the world system. Because, see, the thing is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So He owns the whole thing. And at a moment, if He chooses to, He could just go, snap His fingers, and every one of them would be liquidated. That's the nicest, you know, it's a liquidated. Where did I get that word? He'd do away with them. But He allows them to exist for a season of time. He allows them to persist with what they're doing, because in this whole thing too, He's glorified. in this whole thing too, you'll see that he even uses them and all of their evil devices to refine and to reveal his true bride and his true church in this time, the one that he's coming for, the one that he's going to receive unto himself. So see, he used that system just like he used Pharaoh to ultimately glorify himself, knowing that Pharaoh would do what he would do. So he said, alright, you know, you ain't gonna play ball, I will then use you, and I will completely humiliate and mock you in the process. And then in that whole thing, when you're done, you know, then, you know, you'll know. And everybody else will know too. You know, the funny thing about even like the plagues that God used with Egypt was that each one of the plagues, they defied an Egyptian god. They defied the very things that they had been worshipping. So for example, like so like, I mean, if you look at Egyptian, all of these different things were a part and parcel of their own worship. So it's like, so I have to go back and look at each one of them, but there's like, with each of them, like for example, Ra, the sun god, you know, where he, you know, just blacks the whole thing out so that none of them can see. So they're groping around in darkness, so they can't even see the, you know, even the river. The thing about the river was, what did they do? They told all, yeah, they worshipped the Nile, and also they told the, what did they do to all the Hebrew children? Where did Moses come from? They had them throw all of their children in the river to drown. Remember that? Yeah, all of their kids to throw them in the river to drown. Moses, all, and so they had them dispose of all their kids. Moses, they, you know, got put in a little basket after they couldn't hide him any longer. And then, you know, God worked out a way for him to be delivered. But they, so what happened? God let them reap what they had sown. So they worshipped the Nile, and then also they had, so then all of a sudden he turned the whole thing putrid into blood. Why is the word blood used as the analogy? Could have used it for a whole lot of things. Well, why? Because they reaped what they sowed. So even with each one of these plagues, and see, as I've been reading this book, part of the Apocrypha, this Wisdom of Solomon, and you know, one thing that even it talks about, even when it's referring to this whole thing, it says that people don't realize that the instruments of a man's sin become the instruments of his punishment. You know, and but ultimately, it's like when people reap what they've sown, they get back in the same place where they sowed to the flesh and they sowed to the world and they sold themselves. The very things that they gave themselves over to turn around and bite them in the butt. You know, I mean, it's like, it's the
on the last, not last day, when he was captured and, you know, the ear was sliced off.
Oh, Jesus with the,
you know, if it, you will, you know, be somebody who takes a weapon will die of the weapon.
Yeah, yeah, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And yeah, because see, what happens is ultimately, it's like you, it comes back to you. I was watching this movie the other day. I didn't even realize that it was a true story until like the end of it, where like it says what happens to the characters, and you're like, oh wow, this was real. But in this movie, like this one guy steals this other guy's wife, and then in the process of him stealing this guy's wife, she becomes to him the same terror that she was to the previous husband. So she's cheating on him, and she's like spending the money that he doesn't even have, like, so the rent money's being spent on a dress, and like, And like, you know, just go through this list of all, not helping out with anything, he has to do everything. And then it's like to the point where this guy goes and kills himself. Because he's like, because of this woman. And so, but it's like, but what happens is, he's like, I started thinking about this Wisdom of Solomon book. It's like, you know, the instruments of a man's sin become the instruments of his punishment. And it's like when you look at when people reap what they've sown, it comes back to you. In the very same place that you sold yourself to the world, it'll come back to haunt you, and it'll come back to hit you there. And that's why too, it's like you have to ASAP get right with the Father and seek to walk that path out with Him. Because if you don't, all this stuff will come back to you. And see, here's the thing too, sometimes people don't understand. There is natural repercussions for the things that we do. So you may still face consequences in the natural for some of the stuff that you did even after you line yourself up with Christ. But, and He may or may not liberate you from some of that. But whatever the case may be, you know, in the spirit, you have a clean slate. In the spirit, but you may still, if you killed somebody, you may still go to jail.
You have to face the consequences.
You know, you may still reap the natural consequences for your actions. You know, you may have got an STD, and it may stay with you for, you know, it may not go away. You know, you may not get healed from that thing. Maybe you will. Maybe God will be merciful to you. You can call out to Him for that. But it's like, you see, it's just like there is natural consequence for the things that we do. And so when people, you know, it's like, this is again where people have been sold a false bill of goods. They're told, okay, you can live however you want to in the world, be whatever you want to in the world, and then, you know, we'll come up and we'll have this magic wand, a hocus pocus prayer in the front. You can come up and cry and blow some snot. And you know, and then like all of a sudden, you know, wow, okay, everything's gone. Well, maybe not. You know, maybe, you know, you will have to deal with the consequences of this. Now, God is merciful, and that a miracle is when God does something. You have miracles all the time. The fact you can move your fingers is a miracle. The fact you have conscious thought is a miracle. The fact that you can blink your eyes is a miracle. But because these happen so frequently and so regularly, we don't see them as that. But when God chooses to divinely intervene and suspend natural laws, the ones that you're used to and accustomed to on a day-to-day basis, and then chooses to intervene, that's when we're like, oh wow, God did a miracle. He may do that for you too. You know? So it builds your faith though too, but you have to. The most important thing is at any moment in time is just to say, Lord, am I walking with you? And if not, to line yourself up with Him ASAP and allow the Spirit of God to connect you in that line. But otherwise, if not, it's the wrong path. It's the wrong way. So, okay, so let nothing be done, being of one accord of one mind. In verse 2, but verse 12 where it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So here's where, again, now here's the thing about this. It will ultimately come down to, as much as we love and care about each other in the body of Christ, each one of us walks this thing out with God for themselves. And as much as your family may love you, as much as your friends may care about you, you have to walk this thing out with God for yourself. To have a real, legitimate connection with the author and the finisher of your faith. To, out of that place and out of that connection, allow Him to work in and work with you. And you learn to trust Him in that. Because see, most people will avoid that. They want someone else to work out their salvation for them and then tell them what they need to do to be okay. But God says, look, you know, and when this word is coming forward from His servant, it says, look, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work this thing out with God. Allow this thing to be real. Take questions that you have to Him in truth. Let this, see, even the time that we spend together, my hope is that that for each of us, that we just develop and cultivate that straight, direct connection with the Father, and realizing that none of us has anything in and of ourselves, none of us has any intermediary between us and God. We each have a direct connection with Him, and we can each walk this thing out, and then we can share our experience along this way with one another to encourage each other's hearts. But it's you and it's me having to deal with reality in this world and walking that reality out while we're here. And walking out, what is this salvation? What is it that I've, you know, what is it that I came into in Christ? What does it mean to be free? And what does it mean to have purpose in this world? What does it mean? What is the reason that you're here? So you've got a chunk of time here in this world. You know, maybe it's one more year, maybe it's 10 more years, maybe it's 50 more years. Or maybe it's tomorrow. Well, whatever it is that you're doing here, you know, wouldn't you want that to be complete and fulfilled? And that purpose? See, that's why too, why it's like, it's kind of, you realize how crazy it is when we get stuck in the world, because you realize that so much of what we're doing, laboring in the world, does not have any real eternal value or significance. Alright, let me close with this. Let's go to John 17, and I know we're touching this, but let's... Excuse me. John 17 and verse 3, where it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So, okay, so that is eternal life. That is what life is all about. That is what the whole thing is about, is to know Him. And so when you know Him, then, for example, if you do work, you would do the work that He would instruct you to do out of the relationship that He has with you. So if you know Him, and then God says, okay, I want you to do this, then you go do that work out of your relationship with Him, and you do it as unto the Lord. Versus if you don't know Him, then what kind of work do you do? You do, in those cases, whatever it is that seems best to your own mind, which there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So you do that which leads to death, and if you really want to succeed in that system, you sell out your fellow man and everybody else for the sake of advancing in that. But to know God is eternal life. So to know Him is what this whole thing is about. And so with this, you seek to strengthen your relationship and your connection in your time here. So each day the desire is, I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more and more. Because He's inexhaustible. You can't, so there's a limitation to what, so it's like, but I want the max of what is possible there. You know, I want to know Him. So it's like, if that requires you going through some things, having some experiences, having some rough times, and then seeing His faithfulness, if the end product of that is, hey, you know Him better, would you still take it? if you, in the track God has for you, like Acts 16, if that requires in the end your back being ripped open and you being tossed in jail, but the end of it is you know him better, would you go with that? Would you accept that? Is it at any cost, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to know you, because that's what life is about? Or is it, Lord, I would like to succeed in the world? And you know, be honest. See, that's the thing too. If people can just be honest with God, if they can just be honest with themselves, you know, because you realize that most people that do want to succeed in the world, their goal is for that, and then the byproduct is, and I just want it at any cost. So if God is the one I need to try to use to get there, I'll use him. Whereas the contrast with it is, if your relationship is with the Father, you have a direct personal relationship with him, then whatever it is that he says goes. And then that's where the work you do, the life you live, the direction you take, whatever it is, doesn't matter, as long as it's based on the relationship you have with him. Because then you can walk that out with him. So, yeah, wow, time goes fast. So we'll stop there.